honey.
The number you have dialed is not available at present. Please leave your message after the beep.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real Estate Coaching Club podcast. I'm your host, Frank Bernardo. And this is where we will help you make your first $100,000 or your next $100,000 on your path to a seven-figure real estate empire. I'm going to give you my 20-plus years of real estate experience because I believe to be successful, you have to help other people be successful. This is about mindset and models and systems. We're not talking theory. We are talking about things that actually work. We're going to tell you like it is, not what you think it should be. So buckle up, my friends. This is the Real Estate Coaching Club podcast.
Yeah, trendsetter. Whoa, league of my own. It don't get better. No, read what I wrote. I'm a best.
Hey, Trace.
Hi.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
Thank you for doing this for me. And so for everybody that's watching, this is Tracy Tofty. She's my wife, and I could not think of a better person to start out our agent interview podcast segments with than the number one agent in our office, which is my wife, Tracy Tofty. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So what I want to do is I want to kind of lay the path for agents that are looking to do six figures in their real estate business, because you've been doing that for quite some time now. You've been very successful for a very long period of time. And I think sometimes it's really hard for agents when they first start out and they haven't done a deal to see what a six-figure, what that looks like and how to continuously and consistently do that. So I want to try to build a picture. Basically, I want to start from the beginning. Are those the dogs in the background?
They've been asleep all morning. I'm so sorry.
Hey,
this is great.
I think we should start over and let me put them on the other side.
No, I think this is great.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, this is fine. This is real. Okay. This is
We're
real.
We're just going to roll with
it. Exactly.
Okay.
So let's start out with tell me where were you born? Where did you start out at? Where did you grow up at?
I grew up in the San Fernando Valley, specifically Canoga Park, Woodland Hills. I was a Valley girl. And that's pretty much where I was born and raised until age 15.
Okay. And what happened at age 15?
At age 15, I moved to the Sherman Oaks Studio City area. And
then
that's where I lived for a very long time.
So I know you don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but it's super important that you used to be on TV a long time ago. But before you were on TV in a very, very widely syndicated TV show, you did other things. So you got into acting, you were an actress. So can you tell me when that started and kind of just go through the progression of all of that?
Sure. So I started off in the film industry at age 9. My first year, I just went on commercial auditions. I booked 17 or 18 national commercials my first year in the business. I had, really dark freckles and reddish hair and really kind of awkwardly, girl next door, kind of like how I am now. I loved it. I loved being in front of the camera. I was doing a lot of dance classes and auditions. And like I said, working pretty steadily. And then as that progressed, I started auditioning for movies and TV. And at age, I think I was 12, I auditioned for Mr. Belvedere and I was hired on that job and I was on that show for 6 seasons. Starting at age, I turned 13 when we filmed the pilot.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so what happened? So that was 6 seasons, that ends. What happens then?
What happened then was I tried doing more acting. I worked a little bit here and there, but it was really hard to get hired. It was really hard. I was kind of labeled as the girl on Belvedere. And because it wasn't a huge hit in terms of what they labeled as a hit, it was really hard to get other work. And I got really frustrated. So I decided to quit. I wanted to do something else that really wasn't working for my mental health. Mm-hmm. And so I went to culinary school I worked as a cook in a bunch of different restaurants in and around LA for a few years. And during that period of time, like right when I was getting out of acting, I had met my first husband and we got married. And I got pregnant with our first child, Sarah, when I was working in the restaurant industry. And it was really hard for me to be around the food. I was getting sick all the time. So that kind of transitioned into me becoming a stay-at-home mom. So I was a stay-at-home mom for several years.
That's and you were really young when you had kids, weren't you?
Yeah, I was 24 when I had Sarah.
Yep. And just to go back to what you said, when you said you were labeled as the girl on Belvedere, I actually remember an episode of Silver Spoons that you were on, and they actually referenced Belvedere, you being the girl on Belvedere on that show. So that I totally
That
get
was
what you
on
mean.
Growing Pains,
Growing
but
Pains,
nice
you're
try. Nice try, babe.
right. I'm gonna get in trouble later.
Thank you.
So now your culinary thing. So you stopped doing the culinary thing, being a chef and all that stuff. So that stopped. And then what
Yep,
happened
and
after?
I was a stay-at-home mom for a really long time. I mean, I had my daughter Sarah, and then a few years later, we had McKellen, my son, and we moved out of state. We came back. That's a whole other story. But when we came back, I was a stay-at-home mom, and for quite a while. And then something tragic happened in my first marriage. A long story short, he ended up passing away, and I was a single mom overnight with two little kids. I had a daughter in kindergarten and a son that was a toddler at home. And I had really no income because I was enjoying being a stay-at-home mom. And so I ended up getting a job to kind of keep myself occupied because I needed to. And I worked as a teacher's aide for kids with special needs, and I absolutely loved it. And I worked at a elementary school in Santa Clarita Valley, and there was a mom there. She was a real estate agent. And literally, just like in the movies, she would get out of a very fancy car. She had like really nice clothes, really nice shoes. She just made it look so amazing. And I remember thinking, well, I watch HGTV and I'm smart. Like, I could do this, thinking like that's all there is to it. And I looked into it, getting my real estate license. And that's how my real estate career kind of began, on false hopes and dreams, basically.
Well, that sentiment is alive and well because I have agents walking into our office every day that reference selling Sunset and selling
Oh,
Beverly
yeah.
Hills, and I'm like,
Yeah.
stop.
Shocker. It's nothing like that.
Well, that's too funny. So you go get your license after that?
Yep. So I got my license. I took the test. I passed. Little did I know that everything I was so stressed out about needing to know, you really don't need to know for the day to day. And yeah, I got my license and I joined Keller Williams and I went to all the classes. I tried really hard to understand what was, it was like drinking from a water fountain.
Yeah.
There is no excuse why you can't be a successful agent at Keller Williams because there is just so much information and classes and education and things to help you succeed. So one of the things that I thought I could do and succeed at, one of the things was door knocking. So I started out door knocking and I didn't know what a farm was, but I decided I'm going to door knock my neighborhood because I live in a great neighborhood and I started door knocking. I believe I got my license in September and I got my very first listing in March, all from door knocking.
September, October, November, December, March. So 5 months. No, September, October, November, December, January, February, March. 7 months. So it took you 7 months to get your first deal.
6 months. Yeah. You
Six months.
count those things weird. We never. I
There
was just going to let you go. You
we
go.
let it go. Here we go.
So yeah, I got my first listing, and I'll tell you, the agent on the other side that brought the buyer, she was so sweet, so gracious. She was very, very experienced in our valley, and I'm sure I was like as green as the green M&M. I mean, I like had no clue what I was doing, but I was doing the best I could. I had a mentor. But in my first year, I did one sale and one buy, and the one buy, I ended up going to arbitration.
Oh my gosh. That's a
So
whole
for those,
bunch of experience.
that don't know what arbitration is, basically like the buyer and the seller were suing each other and we had to go to arbitration. So yeah.
Wow.
First year in real estate.
Wow. So many questions now because I didn't even know that.
Well, I'll tell you really
So,
quickly, it was my sister's house. I helped her buy the house. I was representing her as the buyer's agent. And the sellers did not disclose to us in their disclosures that they were hiding a very, very bad leak and mold that went from the kitchen underneath the sink up the walls and all the way around to the family room. And the agent had knowledge of it, the listing agent, but nobody disclosed it. And so thankfully, we ended up working it all out and everything, but it was a nightmare. And it was just like basically throwing me into the fire my first year of real estate.
well, it wasn't your fault, so that's positive. That's the other agent was probably an experienced agent too.
Yes. And I
Yeah,
will not name names.
So let me ask you this question. So you got your first listing door knocking. Do you remember the script that you used when you door knocked?
Well, what's funny is when I first went door knocking, I would door knock my kid's grandma's favorite apple pie recipe because I thought, well, that's different. No one else is doing that, thinking that would be cute. Little did I know that really had no, like, it's not giving any kind of value. It's not helping people understand what you do. I mean, maybe it would be like an add-on to another five or six things that I could have talked about, but that's all that I did. And I got a coach pretty quickly once I started at Keller Williams. I started coaching with someone, and they're like, no. You need to give them an item of value. You need to talk to them about something that has to do with our market or comps in the area, or if they want any information about refinancing, things like that. So I quickly changed my script. I do remember when I first started door knocking, they had said that they were thinking about moving out of state. So with that knowledge, I probably door knocked them like another 6 to 7 times before they actually asked me to list their property. Because things don't happen overnight. People think it does, but it doesn't. You just have to keep going. Once you get a little nibble, you basically can't let go.
That totally makes sense. So if you could go back to yourself, knowing what you know now, going back to that first year, what would you do differently?
I probably would be much more purposeful with my door knocking. In terms of what I was handing out, the information that I was giving. Back then, there was no COVID, there were no Ring cameras. People would answer their door. It was just a different time. It's a little different now. So my door opening ratio was a lot higher than it is today. I just went door knocking the other day. I mean, you and I discussed that. So it was a little bit easier to have a lot more conversations. But just being more purposeful, I think. And then plus the other thing back then, if I talked to anyone at the door, I would just leave it at that. Now I send a note card, I follow up. But obviously, if they ask for anything, I'm like Johnny on the spot getting them the information that they're asking for.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So if somebody asks you, because I get asked this all the time, when's the best time to go door knocking?
Anytime is the best time to go door knocking. I mean, maybe not like 6 a.m. or like 9 p.m. within reason. It just depends. Honestly, I've always tried to crack that code and I don't think that you can. I've done it late mornings when kids are in school. I've done it in the afternoons when I know kids are home from school. I've done it on the weekends. Just depends.
Just got to do it. So, your first year, you did two deals. Tell me how your business ramped up to where you were really going. And because you were a single parent for a very long time, supporting yourself, supporting two kids. And I know this that you had one kid go graduate master's, I believe, from Berkeley.
They both graduated with a master's, one from Berkeley, one from USC.
That is not a light load. That is a heavy load. It's a heavy financial burden. It's a heavy time burden. It's a heavy parent burden. It's crazy to even think, knowing that what I've gone through as a parent, to think that you did all of that by yourself and you supported yourself and you did that with real estate. So can you kind of tell me like how your business ramped up and how you were able to do that?
Okay, so after I got those couple of listings, I joined a team. That is not for everybody. Okay, let me just repeat, that is not for everybody. But I joined a team because I wanted my learning curve to excel. And when I joined the team, I learned a lot, and I quickly became very much like the person that was going to do everything that I was told to do. That's just how I am. When I say I'm going to do something, I do it. And I usually exceed what I say that I'm going to do. That's just how I was raised with my parents. The expectations and accountability when I was a child was very much expected to do our best and then some. So I really worked hard on that team, and I had good years and I had bad years. To me, doing under 10 deals was not enough. But then I started doing like 15 deals a year, 16 deals a year. And then I started to hit a ceiling. And what was helping me, I was being paid a very, very, very small base. And I was getting paid a percentage on the deals that I was bringing in and closing. And then this team leader came along and said, after being on the team for a very long time, you know, if you just did real estate on your own, you would make a lot more money and you're selling yourself short. And that was a really hard concept for me to grasp. So when you say, when did your business take off? It took off when I went out on my own, when I went off of the team and hustled and really answer to myself. I am really, really, really hard on myself. That's just my personality. I set really high expectations, and I'm not usually ever pleased with my productivity, but it's grown and I can see the growth. And so when I went off on my own, that's when I really started hitting some production goals.
So it was because of that team leader that you started to grow and your business just exploded.
Yes.
Who is the team leader?
Somebody you might know.
Okay.
Somebody you might know. But I learned a lot of the fundamentals when I was on a team. And I suggest don't join just any team. You want to join a team that's really going to teach you and help you learn.
I just want to clarify, because you said you were paid a base, but I do believe you were paid a base because you were actually doing a lot of the admin work as well. If I'm
Oh
not
yeah.
mistaken, you were on a team, but you were also were the team, and you basically did everything on the team. And in my personal opinion, I feel like you got taken advantage of, and that does happen with teams. And that's why when people come to me and they go, "I want to join a team," I go, "I don't know if that's the best choice. Like, let's talk about that." And so usually what I do with agents is I sit down with them, I give them a strategy call to see where are they at, and what's the best direction for them. Similarly, what I did to you, like we sat down and we went through your numbers to see, like, based on your numbers, could you do this on your own? And it was just, to me, it was glaring, and it was apparent that it was super just advantageous for you to basically do the business by yourself. And thank you for proving me right. So now your business is humming, and I mean, we haven't had the award ceremony in the office yet, but you are the number one agent in the office overall out of everybody. In your own category for your team, you are number one, and then you are number one in units and number one in volume. You're also number three in the entire region out of all of Keller Williams offices in Los Angeles, which is,
That's pretty cool.
congratulations.
Never had that happen before, so that's pretty cool.
So let me ask you this. Have you ever wanted to quit?
Oh, yes. Oh yeah. I want to quit, but I don't want to quit, if that makes sense. Like,
Yeah.
it's more like I just want the day to be over. I hate everyone. I don't want my phone to ring. I don't want anyone to talk to me. That type of feeling of wanting to quit. I don't think I've ever wanted to actually walk away from real estate, but I have to say I've been through so many different markets, you know, like the short sale market and all the NODs, and then when the interest rates went way down, how crazy that market was, and the multiple offers, and you know, the peds when it was COVID, and you know, all different markets. And you really have to be flexible in this business. You have to learn and grow with all the changes, like the NAR settlement. There's going to be a whole nother set of changes we all got to learn. And that's just part of it. And honestly, what I love the most is when it's really, really hard and it's hard for people, because I really love helping them and feeling like we got somewhere. Like during the whole short sale market, I was probably in tears almost every day. We were taking so many listings, helping people get out of their situation, and it was just heartbreaking. And to be able to still stay in touch with those people that I was talking to back then, and now they're in a much better financial place. I just had somebody yesterday email me that their son got married and would like me to help them buy a house. And this is a family that I helped over 10 years ago get out from under their house in a short sale. And so it's just one of those things where it's super rewarding, as hard as it is, building those relationships and helping people achieve this dream is just like, it's so worth it.
So I haven't heard anything that you said that said, you know, you make a phone call and you get a deal. You make a phone call and you get a deal. Some of the stories that you're telling me are you talk to somebody and then years later, and it took this many times calling them or this many years, and then you finally get the deal. Can you tell me more about your follow-up and how that works and how does real estate really work? Like you don't pick up a phone call and close a transaction on the first call typically, right?
No, it's all about building the relationship and trust. That is the main thing. Trust and building the relationship. If you don't have those two things, it's going to be very hard to get from point A to point Z quickly. And none of it is ever quick. And I think if you're trying to be quick, you're not going to come off authentic, and it's going to come across like you have commission breath. And that is something that I really had to learn to control. Once I understood, it's not going to happen in your time frame. It's going to happen in the time frame it's supposed to happen. So every time I meet someone, it's about building that relationship. Give you a perfect example. I'm helping somebody right now. They bought a house that's an off-market property that we're in escrow on, and they actually are going to sell their house after this one closes that they're in escrow on now. I probably met them through a friend 2 years ago, and every time I saw them at get-togethers and everything, they were kind, they were nice, but I never felt like I could say like, so and so tells me you're thinking about moving to Santa Clarita, and I heard you have a house. Do you need to sell it? Like, I could never come across that way. So it just had to be about talking to them, getting to know them, following up with them, sending them note cards, setting them up on my MLS so they could look at listings, and just sort of staying in touch with them. And sure enough, when that opportunity came, I was the first person that they thought of. And it's been, knock on wood, two transactions in with them, pretty smooth sailing, because there's an understanding and a mutual respect, and they know that they can depend on me. And in the middle of the first transaction, I went to their house to do disclosures, and he says, "I have a surprise for you." I go, "A surprise for me? Like, what is it?" He goes, he brings up, rips out a business card. He goes, "I have a referral for you." And he gave me a referral for another buy and sell. So it's just, you just have to stay patient and continually follow up with everyone. Another thing I wanted to say really quick is sometimes when I think nobody has anything, they'll surprise me and come around the corner and say, "Hey, I've just been recently thinking about buying," or, "I'm thinking about selling," or, "I have a referral for you." So you always have to think there's a yes around the corner. You just constantly have to stay in touch with people.
So where does the bulk of your business come from today?
Today, my database, 100% database.
Is that where it should, for agents listening to this, is that where you think it should come from?
Yes, but I feel like when you're starting out, you need to have other legs of your table that you're working on. One of the challenges for me when I first got started was people that knew me, like really knew me, that I had relationships with for like what does she know about real estate? Like, she used to be on TV and she was a stay-at-home mom and she worked at a restaurant. So it takes a little bit. People have to see that you know what you're doing and you're hustling and you're working hard. So when I first started out, it was my database. It was farming my neighborhood. It was doing open houses. It was working online leads. And I was doing all of those things consistently.
Consistently. I think
Yes.
that's the magic key
And
right there.
building your database, constantly adding people to your database and having some sort of system that you're following up with your database. That's so crucial and important. When I first started out, I'd close the deal and then I would be on to the next person. And I wasn't saving any of the people's information. Well, they moved to Kentucky. Why do I need their information? Or they moved closer to their daughter down south. Why do I need to hold on to their information? Biggest mistake I ever made.
So that being said, you have people that move out of state and do different things. Like you've done international transactions. Can you tell me how that happened? And how could an agent just starting in the business or an agent that's never done an international transaction, how would they do one?
Okay, so we had a buyer that we were working with, and she had like six or seven properties to sell, and we helped her with those. And she had mentioned that she wanted to move to Spain. And as soon as she said those words, I was like, oh, well, I can help you with that. Keller Williams is international. I help people locally, regionally, and I help them locally, nationally, and internationally. And so we got to talking about that and how I could help her. And she's like, that would be great. I said, no problem. Just let me know where in Spain that you're looking. And then as soon as she said that, again, Johnny on the spot, I was doing my research, interviewing agents, and narrowing it down to two or three agents that she could interview and see who she had the best fit with. And then from there, she made a vacation to go out to Spain and she met with the agent and ended up buying two properties.
Wow. And
Yeah.
how would an agent do that? Like if you could, like where would an agent find an international transaction if they wanted to? Like what would you suggest them to do?
The first thing you have to do is you have to let everybody that you know, everybody that you talk to, know that you work local, national, and international. Because how else will they know? As soon as I got that transaction, that was my new verbiage that I talked about with people. Because they don't know what they don't know. I can't tell you how many times people think, well, you live in, Santa Clarita and I see you do a lot of business in Santa Clarita, so you probably can't help me in LA. Well, of course I could help you in LA. I can help you anywhere. So it's sort of like helping them to know that and understand that. So part of my everyday conversation on our marketing and everything, and I tell the story a lot about how we help people buy a house in Spain. We help somebody from Mongolia buy a property out here. There's all kinds of things, Costa Rica. So you just have to keep reminding people. They don't know what they don't know.
That's true. That's true. And I know you do a lot of social media. So how important is social media for agents these days? And how do you use it in your business?
So we do a lot of social media. We're posting a few times every day, it seems. It's like a full-time job. You have to constantly be thinking about what am I going to post today? We've gotten a lot of buyers and sellers off of social media. I think it's important to have a balance of things that are about you and personal and getting to know you, like things with my kids or our dogs or when you and I go out on a date, as well as stuff that is real estate related.
Awesome.
Again, it's that knowing, liking, and trusting you. How are you going to quickly get them to know, like, and trust you the quickest way you can? And that's letting
Yeah.
them into your world.
Absolutely. What keeps you motivated?
What keeps me motivated? Oh, that's a good question. Well, I think, well, like I said, I'm really hard on myself. I'm always trying to do better and improve on things. I don't want to do the same every single year. I want to feel like I'm growing and getting better. So last year, you and I hired a MAPS coach that's really been helping us with accountability and pushing ourselves. And so I think that's what keeps me motivated. I work well when somebody is holding me accountable and pushing me to go beyond my comfort zone.
And you've had a coach for most of your real estate career in some way, shape, or form, haven't you?
Yes.
Would you recommend that to new agents that they should get a coach right away, or should they wait, or what do you think?
I guess it depends on their personality and if they're going to do what they're told to do. I feel like there's a lot of things in the beginning. You don't necessarily have to pay a coach right at the beginning if you're not making any income, because it makes sense to have a coach if you have income, right? Some kind of income to pay for it. But I feel like there's enough classes and things that you could have to sort of get going. But if you really want to do this full time and be very successful, I think hiring a coach is the best way to go, because you need somebody in your corner really looking from a bird's eye view on everything that you're doing and how you're doing it and how you can improve. So if you could afford it, absolutely.
Great answer. So let me ask you this. All the agents that are brand new, that are watching Selling Sunset and Selling Beverly Hills and all those TV shows that are getting ready to get into the business, they have this wild expectation that the business is like that. What would you say to them?
I've never seen either of those shows, so I can only imagine what they're like. I would just say that it's not glamorous. It's not glamorous at all. It's actually this really crazy roller coaster ride of emotions, and it's hard work. You have to be successful, you have to do it full time, in my opinion. I think it's hard to be really successful just doing it part time. You're not going to be able to service your clients. And if you can't do it full time, have somebody to help you that can fill in the void. But it takes a lot of work. Yeah.
Good
It's
answer.
the honest truth. It's not glamorous. It's a hard job.
Yep. So let me ask you this question. If anybody has referrals, how do they get a hold of you?
They could call me 661-714-8866, or they can message me on Instagram at Freckled Realtor or through Facebook under Tracy Tofty.
Awesome. I
Yeah.
love this. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a page from somebody else's podcast
Okay.
that I love, which is Jason Abrams' Millionaire Real Estate Agent podcast. It's a great podcast. Everybody should go listen to that too. But
Yes.
he does a thing at the end called the lightning round. I'm not going to call it the lightning round. We're just going to call it I don't know, rapid fire questions. So I'm
Okay.
going to ask you a series of rapid fire questions, and I want you to answer with the first thing that comes to mind. Be honest, and so we can move through these very quickly.
Okay.
When Jason does it, it's never quickly. He always stops the lightning round. I'm not going to stop this. We're just going to move through.
Okay.
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 Are you ready? All
Yes.
right. So the first question is, what's your favorite color?
Pink.
Pink. What is your favorite food?
Anything Italian food and ice cream.
I love it. What is your favorite sound?
My adult kids laughing with each other.
Oh, that's
Not
very
laughing at me, not laughing at me, but laughing with each other.
there's some inside jokes that we can play on, but we're not going to go there right now.
Okay.
What is your favorite song?
Oh, wow. My favorite song?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Probably anything by Taylor Swift. And any song that you've said, oh, this makes me think of us. You're very romantic.
Thank you. What is your favorite movie?
Oh, Coal Miner's Daughter.
I think I did know that. Who's your favorite person?
Babe, is this a trap? You, of course. You're
We
my
go.
favorite person.
And what is your favorite vacation spot of all time?
Oh my gosh, that would definitely 100% have to be Maui with you.
When are we going back?
Let's go. This year, next year, we have to start saving.
That's awesome. Okay, that's all I have for the rapid fire questions. Is there anything that you would like to tell any new agents out there that are looking for guidance, looking for advice? What have I not asked you that I should have asked you? What type of advice would you give people out there that are kind of lost in this market?
I would say don't give up and stay consistent. If you don't get results right away, keep going, especially if it's talking to your database and growing your database. You can never go wrong with talking to your database and growing your database. Ever, ever, ever. Keep doing that. Don't give up.
That's awesome. That's perfect advice. I love it.
Yeah.
Tracy, thank you so much for doing this for me.
You're welcome.
You know, I'll
you owe me a foot rub.
Check is in the mail. thank you. And
you're welcome.
We'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Thank you for listening to the Real Estate Coaching Club podcast. And make sure you have a fantastic day.